Artist and children's book author Ed Young was giving a workshop on Chinese calligraphy one day. To demonstrate the technique, he needed a scroll of paper. Well, there wasn't one. So he grabbed a roll of paper towels from the men's washroom and composed a spontaneous poem on it. That roll of paper towels has become his newest children's book, Beyond the Great Mountains, a visual poem about China. But the real subject of the book isn't so much the poem as the Chinese language itself. Now, Chinese is a notoriously difficult language to learn. As Ed Young told Anne Strangechamps, achieving even basic literacy in Chinese means memorizing 4,000 characters.
4,000 is what you learn if you want to read a regular newspaper or something, but then it's many more beyond that.
So do they simply have to memorize all those characters?
Yeah. And
we think it's hard for children to memorize the letters of the alphabet.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is definitely hard the way the Chinese learn Chinese. So this book is simply a beginning of introducing the Chinese the way it should be.
Beyond the great mountains, far to the east, a vast, fertile plain. In its sky, mist rose and fell, rainwater gathering, river cascading, down cliffs and boulders, through valleys, into fields. As sun and moon kept watch, earth gave birth to sprouts above, metal below, trees of hanging grains. In winter's ice, summer's fire, more plants flourished. To the west, where birds roost, a rock of wonder, salt, was found. To the south, rice fermented into wine. A precious stone embraced heaven and earth, jade. This was Middle Empire, China.
I was brought up in China, and I was not introduced to Chinese characters like the way I have presented in the book.
Which is what?
Which is really starting from symbols like the way we learn traffic symbols. Hmm. You know, you actually take, a circle with a slash, you understand what that means, and then you put a cigarette next to it, and you know that it's no smoking. All of those are unforgettable. And Chinese is learned that way. And you can actually play as a game to decipher what it really meant.
So the characters, you can think of the characters as really visual puzzles?
They're visual puzzles, yeah.
So when you look at this book and you see these beautiful rice paper collages that you've made and you read the character you've drawn, for instance, for tree, and you see that it's a straight line, like a trunk, with two sets of branches jutting out, and so the character looks just like a tree. And I guess these are the building blocks of the Chinese characters, what are called the radicals. But later on, when the words get more complicated and you start combining the radicals on top of each other, well, then don't you think it becomes more like visual poetry?
Well, that is when the real fun begins. It's no longer just one puzzle. It's one puzzle over another puzzle, another puzzle. And then you want more and more of it because there are a lot of wisdom and thoughts and poetry are embedded in them. It's the wisdom of the past. And for me, to study Chinese character is really to get in touch with people in the past and then learn from them.
Well, these characters can be thousands of years old, and the people who created them didn't exactly leave any notes behind. So when you're trying to figure out why one of the characters is drawn the way it is, how do you go about it?
It's a form of meditation. I just sort of look at them and then asking questions. And sometimes it's a puzzle that lasts a long time. You know, for me, you know, let's say a character with a house on top and the pig underneath it called home. And I was puzzled for a long time why, you have to be like a pig living in a house, you know. So for me, this is like a puzzle until I realized that, you know, pig is used for sacrifices. And households used to be a farming household when you have generations of people living under this one household, you slaughter a pig to pay respect to the previous generations. So when there's no respect within the household, then it's not a home. Mm-hmm. It's not a family anymore. So mm-hmm. for me to discover that, it's a revelation of some sorts. But then I always, you know, thought that was my own discovery, and I don't know whether that's right or not. So I kept that all to myself. But then, you know, when the idea of creating books come around, then I have to take responsibility for all of that.
You know, this book has been described as feeling very Buddhist or Taoist. I mean, the words are very meditative and reflective, and it's the subject matter is about nature and earth. I wonder, do you think there is something, it sounds like for you, there is something really deeply spiritual about the Chinese characters?
For me, it is. I study Chinese the way that I show in the book very much as a form of meditation. You know, the knowledge, the character for knowledge is also two characters. It's composed of first a xue, which is like learning. It's two hands sort of downwards, showing two slashes, you know, like how you sign a name if you don't know how to write.
Mm-hmm.
It's meaning somebody who imitates by rote. If you see somebody writing that, you copy that. And both of those symbols over a shelter, which is an upside-down vessel. And underneath that is a child, and the child is with a head and a body and the hands, but no legs. It means an infant. And when you see the whole thing together, it is an infant who is just beginning under a shelter. That means he's in a very protective environment, with the two hands coming down on top, meaning somebody who is very caring. And then you show two crosses like that, meaning you protect the child and you show the child what to do and what is not. And then the child imitates you, and that's learning. And knowledge comes from the second part, which is a couple of feathers from a bird,
mm-hmm.
meaning a bird who is learning to fly. And then underneath is a sun, which is a circle with a dot, which is the energy, and a ray coming up from that. It means from sunrise to sundown, the bird flaps its wing, learning to fly. So when you put the two characters together, it becomes a proverb. And that is the meaning of showing the kid what to do and what is right and what is not. And the kid exercises it. So the two together is the adult showing and the child practicing. And then eventually it becomes learning.
Hmm.
So the two parts is very distinct, and each has its own place.
Have you ever tried to create your own characters?
You know, I came develop as an artist, and when I was an artist, my art school always said, why don't you create your own thing? And that is a trend very much in the United States, but I think you have to be free first. You know, let's say in any sports, you learn, let's say in golf, you learn how to swing, you learn how to connect, you learn how to do this, and you learn how each master do it. And then finally, with all of that, you practice with all of these principles until you are so much a part of it, the discipline frees you, and then you can do anything with that ball. And so for me, the discipline is really learning how a master becomes a master. We in the West often think that we have to create our own path, but it's not really. We follow somebody's path, and then we find out that it frees us to become ourselves.
Ed Young is the author of the children's book called Beyond the Great Mountains. Anne Strangechamp spoke with him.